The Electric Circus. Insert coin. Thank you. Press start.
That's right, The Electric Circus. The totally geek-tastic podcast devoted to news, reviews, rants, and raves on your favorite stuff. Games, gear, cons, cosplay, and more. And here's the ringmasters for today's circus, Ray Gun and Ubernerd 527. So let's go down to the center ring. The show's about to begin!
Arcaders, it's your old pal Ray Gun here again, aka Ray. I am actually doing a solo podcast this time. I thought that was going to be a little unusual for you guys, but we're going to give it a go. So, welcome to the podcast. Things are a little different right now. I know that Josh has brought up on his streaming Sundays with Josh that a big event is coming for him. He, my best friend, my partner in crime, is about to get married. This August, late August, actually 2 days before my birthday, or I think it's 2 days before my birthday, he's getting married. So in preparation for him to get married, he has a lot of things to do. So he has taken a back seat, as it were, for the time being, until he gets through his move, his marriage, and gets everything set up the way he needs to. So, best of wishes to Josh and Amy. You guys are awesome, and look forward to working with you some more down the road. Just hang in there, my friends. Things are going to be in good hands here. I know that Danny's going to be doing his own little thing for a little bit, and I'm going to be doing mine. So I thought, let's do an Electric Circus, shall we? So welcome again to the Electric Circus podcast. Let's start with a little site news.
This is Spiffy, 8-Bit Clown, and this is your site news!
Big, big news coming up beginning of the month. It is the 28th as I'm recording this. August 1st, we are going to have another special month here at the Archives. A certain big gorilla turned the big 4-0 in July, so I thought we'd dedicate August to the one and only Donkey Kong. So we will be having a Donkey Kong month here at the ArcadeArchives.com. We will be doing all things Donkey Kong. I will have some new coin-ups pertaining to Donkey Kong and the iterations therein from the arcade. We will be doing the games that Kong forgot, and any other little thing I can come up with for the month of August. Now, more than likely, as you know, I tend to drag things out, so more than likely it will go past August. There's a lot of history to unpack with Donkey Kong. Probably more so in a lot of cases than Pac-Man, but nevertheless, Donkey Kong deserves his day to shine, or his month to shine. So we will be doing a Donkey Kong month starting August 1st on the ArcadeArchives.com. So be sure to come and check us out all month long. There's going to be some really, really cool articles and other things, surprises, hopefully, that we will be showing you throughout the month of August. So please join us at the site, thearcadearchives.com. Okay, let's get back into the heart of our discussion on this podcast. I'm going to do two reviews. So far, one I've seen, the other one is coming out in November, I believe it is. And so the trailer just popped for it, so we'll be talking about that. But first, we're going to delve into the new He-Man show, the source of a lot of controversy, you know, out there right now. And what do I think of it? It's, okay, so He-Man Revelation. It hit Netflix think this past weekend. I know I saw it on Sunday. I watched all five episodes. And I don't really want to break down the episodes too much. I really want to kind of get into the heat of the argument and what my opinions are. If you guys have been following it all, He-Man Revelation was spearheaded by Mattel. Netflix picked it up and was basically directed, if you will, by Kevin Smith. Now, going into it, I saw the images. The first images, I think, came out just a few months ago. It looked good. It was being animated by the same people doing Castlevania, which one of these days I want to sit down and do a full review on Castlevania because it is an amazing show. But it looked really, really good. I had nothing to really complain about art-wise. But here's my take on the five episodes. I don't want to break it down. We might do that in a future podcast. But what I thought of it. I didn't see it really as a continuation of the original series at all. I think, if anything, it really shares, especially the art style most, with the 2001 reboot. And I think He-Man is one of those almost abstract shows in a sense that you could have the characters and place them in a different situation, different storyline. It blends in. It becomes that version of the He-Man and Masters of the Universe. So one of the big spoilers, I guess, is that everybody's like, oh, it's going to be the Teela show. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. Yes, I will spoil this much. If you haven't seen it, don't listen to this next couple of minutes, I guess, in just a second. But you might want to divert to, later on down the podcast. I'll probably put a note in the description at the website. So from here on, a little bit of a spoiler. Yes, Teela does take up a good portion of the five episodes that are happening within the storyline of this series. For good reason. He-Man's not really in it because he is essentially killed protecting Castle Grayskull, or what we thought was Castle Grayskull. And, so he's not in the series primarily. He appears through flashbacks and in episode 4, I think it is, maybe 5, he reappears, if you will. That's as far as the spoilers go. But yes, Teela really takes the reins in this show. Now, as a standalone product, as a standalone show, I thought it was actually really good. I didn't see the problems with Teela taking the reins. I think a lot of people are, you ruined my childhood. Well, not really. Because here's the thing, guys. Your childhood is still there. It's so hard nowadays between the Transformers, G.I. Joe, He-Man, Ghostbusters, other IPs that have been taken over by other people, and, a new story has been crafted within that realm, becoming a life of its own, okay? It's almost like a multiverse thing, and I know that's really a trope today, but I think it's its own entity. It's not necessarily continuation. I think of it as its own story arc. That, okay, the events of Master of the Universe has happened as it has in all the iterations of, each series, except for the New Adventures of He-Man. That's a whole other discussion. But I think it's its own thing. And for what it is, it's pretty well done. It's a fairly tight script, a storyline. It follows its own narrative very well. It adds aspects to the story that you really didn't think about before, which I think is pretty cool. And it leaves you on a cliffhanger that's actually really good, that you're hoping that it will continue. Because, again, He-Man will be back. It is Masters of the Universe, I think people need to take a step back. If you want the original He-Man, It's on Blu-ray. It's on DVD. It's on YouTube, for crying out loud. They have their own YouTube channel now. Watch it. It's awesome. I love Filmation. When I was an artist, two places I wanted to work, if I could actually be an artist for a animation house at the time, was either Hanna-Barbera or Filmation. So for me, I loved Filmation's work. I thought it was really good. Also, I really wanted to work for Ruby Spears as well, but they really fit into the Hanna-Barbera thing because that's really where they started. But Filmation was really cool because they did, I guess you would consider it like rotoscoping in a way, because very realistic the way they animated it. So frame by frame, they must have filmed somebody to do a lot of the motions. It's pretty amazing stuff for its time. So they had their own take on He-Man, and what made it unique, of course, is it was the first one. That's really what made it special. I think with the success of The Toys That Made Us, which, by the way, if you have not seen that show, are you living under a rock? Do you not have Netflix? Do you not have any streaming service? Please go watch this show. It's amazing. The history that they give on each individual IP, each individual toy series is astounding. And I think He-Man's is the first one. And it's amazing to watch the evolution of an idea from beginning to end the way they show it on The Toys That Made Us. So please go watch this show. And I think that's probably another review I'm going to have to do down the road too. And it's funny because I'm waiting for the next season. Now, they just came out. They have a series called The Movies That Made Us, which is also very good. They just did a season two of that, and it's been a while. And I'm assuming because of the way things have been the last year, that's probably why they're behind. But if they bring back The Toys That Made Us, I would be extremely happy. It's a great show. Go watch it. But the He-Man episode, I think, was the catalyst for this show. I literally think, you know, Mattel sat back and said, you know, we could revitalize this brand. And I think they go through this every 10 years or so, where they say, you know, let's bring back He-Man again. Let's make him fresh. Let's make him different. Let's do this or that. And, you know, because you had the original series, then you had 10 years later, you had, in essence, 10 years. I'd say it was more like 8, 7, somewhere around there. But you had The New Adventures of He-Man, which, again, ugh. I watch it purely because of where they were trying to take it. It didn't work because it was a different animation house. Filmation was already out of business at the time, so it really did not hit any note that it tried. But, and there were some moments that were really good in the show, but it was a very different take. And then, of course, you had the 2001 reboot that was on Cartoon Network. That was amazing. And now you have this. And I don't think this is a terrible show. I think it's, you know, like I said, it's a different narrative. It comes from different people. It hits the notes where it needs to. It plays a lot of fan service, which, if you're into that, is great. You'll see a lot of vehicles, a lot of characters that were never in the series, any series for that matter, which is really cool. I think that's what you're going to be watching it for more than anything. There are specific episodes almost solely devoted to specific characters that never saw the light of day on an animated series, which is really cool. I think the only problem I have with the show is unfortunately, and I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, is Kevin Smith. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not a fan of Kevin Smith. I wasn't a fan of Clerks 1 or 2. Animated series was okay. Mallrats, I think I liked because it was in a mall, but if you really want a mall movie, you're going to watch Fast Times at Ridgemont High anyway. So it didn't do anything for me. And then, you know, I wasn't into comic book men. You know, yay, you're, you know, a big nerd. So are we all, you know. I guess somebody labeled him King of the Nerds, and that's fine. But I think what happened was there was a lot of little white lies that kind of filled a thread that literally everybody followed and saw the mistakes, you know. And I think it really started with the fact that he couldn't even get the date of the animated series right. He was off by 1 year. He has been quoted in saying that he hated He-Man. Now all of a sudden he likes it because, of course, he's getting paid. And then, you know, I guess the ultimate betrayal to people was the fact that you said, this is a continuation, this is a He-Man story, and then word got out through particularly the good folks over at Clownfish TV, and if you haven't subscribed to them yet on YouTube, I highly suggest. They're good people. They caught this thing right at the beginning, saw the, basically the narrative wasn't right, that he was saying, this is not a Teela show, this is about He-Man and this and that, and then all of a sudden people started catching him in these lies, particularly, again, Clownfish TV did. And, you know, listen, if you wanted to change the narrative, you have the right to. You're the director. You know, you can scream at Rian Johnson for what he did to Last Jedi all day long, but at the end of the day, he was hired, and there's not a lot you can do about it. Now, he painted his own picture. Does that make him a bad director? I don't think so. I loved Knives Out. Now, I don't know if anybody else does, but I watched it, and I thought it was very entertaining. But the same could be said about this. You know, he painted a picture as if he was going to be producing this amazing series that followed the story note for note by the Filmation series. It really doesn't. It's its own story. And then the whole Teela thing, which, again, wasn't a problem. If you had just said, you know, this is going to put a different spin on He-Man, it may not be your cup of tea, which is great, not a problem. But if you are really looking for the He-Man show you grew up with, watch the He-Man show you grew up with, because everybody's going to have a different picture, you know. And especially since you have a man that really didn't like He-Man to begin with, but he likes paychecks, so, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, I don't discredit him for that part of it. Everybody's going to earn a living. But, hey, if you don't like the source material, sometimes you're not the best person for the job. But other times you are. Case in point, I was just talking to a friend today about Donkey Kong games. Again, we got Donkey Kong month coming up, and one of my favorite versions, home versions of Donkey Kong, and we will be talking about this one next month as well, is the Atari 8-bit version. Now, it plays flawlessly. But then you hear the backstory about the designer who hated the game and just wanted to get it done. But he made a perfect note-for-note version of Donkey Kong that played at home. And it was pretty amazing. You know, so sometimes you get the right person for the job, and other times you don't get the right person for the job. Am I saying that Kevin Smith was the wrong person? No, he probably wasn't. But I think his motivations and his deceit kind of caught up with him. And I think hopefully he learns a lesson. I like the show. I'd like to see the direction it's going for the next season. So please, Netflix, continue the series. They have this amazing ability of dropping things, and I'm hoping they don't do that to this, particularly with all the backlash and everything else that's been going on for the last week. But all in all, I thought the show was really, really well done. It has a very interesting storyline, all the little nuances involved in what happens to the world after what happens to He-Man. Really, I think, work for the story that they're telling. And again, you have to take it at face value. This is a different He-Man. This is not Filmation He-Man. Now, I know that about a year or so ago, there was an attempt. I think they made one episode that was a Filmation episode. Like, somebody animated exactly like Filmation did and were able to get a good portion of the voice cast back. And it was good. Now, if I had one real gripe about this series, and everybody's going to really hate me, I can see the comments already. Mark Hamill as Skeletor. I was really looking forward to that. A, it sounds too much like Joker. And B, I think because it sounds too much like Joker, he did the one thing that Alan Oppenheimer did very well as Skeletor, and that was the laugh. He never gave us a single laugh in the entire show. Like, not one evil laugh. So, you know, I think Mark is an amazing person, and he's a great voice actor. But this, I think, was just like, okay, I'm going to do it. How do I do it? You know? And I think the only way you could really do it is do a very toned-down, serious version of Joker, which meant, guess what? The laugh is gone. I'd almost said, take some of Alan Oppenheimer's laughs and add them to the track. What might have made it work? But that would be the only real nitpicky thing. I wasn't really a fan of the design of Orko either. I thought he looked... Well, he's evolved. I mean, like, I love the original show's version of him. And then in the 2001, he kind of started looking like a troll and getting kind of long. But he kept the same eyes, which was cool. Now, this one, they went with the length and the troll-like features. And then they gave him these weird anime eyes, which were baffling and very distracting. But other than that, I thought it was a competent story. I thought the animation was spectacular. Again, if you've not watched Castlevania, what are you doing? Go watch that show. I think the third season came out just recently, which I am still trying to watch. But all in all, I thought the show was really good. So I don't have any gripes about this new He-Man series. I really don't. Other than, again, the whole thing with Kevin Smith. I have a problem with that. You know, I think it goes back to the 2016 Ghostbusters, because that was kind of the same thing. But at least there they were, you know, hey, this is our Ghostbusters. This is not the Ghostbusters that you remember. So you kind of went into it like that. And then, of course, the backlash came up and whatever. I don't care that they're female. I don't care. You know, that none of that bothers me. As long as you're giving me a good story and everything. And I think that's the case here. I don't think it bothers me that it's a new He-Man. If it did, I wouldn't have watched in 2001. I certainly wouldn't have watched that He-Man New Adventures. God. Don't get me started on that one. But all in all, I thought the show was good. So I highly recommend watching it. Go into it with an open mind. Don't go into it thinking, hey, I'm watching the show from 82. Because it's not the show from 82. It is obviously fan service for people who grew up with He-Man. The violence is escalated quite a bit. So go into it with an open mind and watch it. And let me know in the comments, either on the YouTube video or, you know, right there on our website. Let me know what you think. Because I, like I said, I thought it was great. I don't think there was any problem with it. So let me know. But that was He-Man, He-Man Revelations. It was good. Okay, let's talk about our next our next one, which I'm really excited about, and I think everybody else is too. Ghostbusters Afterlife. Now, they dropped the trailer yesterday, and it was virtually out of the blue, because they did a short little blurb on social media yesterday that they were coming out with this trailer. And it really opened the floodgates, if you will. Let's kind of go over the history here. So in 2019, they announced they're doing this movie. And that 30-second little teaser they did already whet everybody's appetites, because all they had to do was hear the proton packs charge up, and then the lightning strike, and the wind blows, and the tarp falls off the Ecto-1, and you see the logo, and you know what you're going in for, and you're just like, oh my god, I gotta see the show now. And then we get another trailer, and I think that one hit, January? And, you know, it filled in some details, but Jason Reitman has been very, very smart. He is only showing you little teeny tiny little things. And a lot of the, as we found out, because people have broken it down already, a lot of the stuff in the original trailer was altered in this trailer to add things that they didn't want to show you in that first trailer in January, which is fine by me. I'm all good with that. Actually, that was a year ago January. As a matter of fact, what am I thinking? It was a year ago January, because, of course, the big virus happened and everything was canceled. So, of course, they backed it up twice, I think. And now it's coming out, what, in November? So now they released this trailer and they're showing all kinds of really cool stuff. And, you know, you've got... You already saw the shot of the Ecto-1 with the gunner chair from Real Ghostbusters, and it comes out. And now you see there's a remote-controlled ghost trap that follows along. You get a shot of the Muncher character, the ghost antagonist, I guess, if you will. And Jason has confirmed that he is not going to be the Real Ghostbusters friendly Slimer version. He is a ghost. He is mean. He wants to be left alone, probably, to do his thing. And here are these guys that are absolutely ticking him off, and, you know, hilarity ensues. And that's what Ghostbusters is all about. There was just so many little things. You know, you saw Ann Potts again, and she's, you know, talking about how Egon, you know, couldn't keep the bills, you know, the bills paid, this, that, and the other thing. And of course, at the very end, you're in Ray's occult bookstore, and there's the red phone, and he says, "We're closed." And you're floored. You're back there. And all the references to the two movies, it's, you know, again, they're hitting you with the things that you remember. And I think that's at least half of what you're going in for. So they hit that one right off the mark. The big one for me, if I'm concerned, is how is Egon a grandfather? did him and Janine Melnitz get together finally, and she left Lewis in the second film, and they started a family? Or is there somebody else that piqued his interest between the time of Ghostbusters 2 and now? We don't know. He had a child who then had two children in all this time. And, so there's that, you know. And we know why he went to Oklahoma. There's no doubt about it. I mean, Shandor probably owned that entire town at one point because he owned the mining company, which is probably where he built his first temple and probably found Gozer for the first time. So that part we get. And he was probably very steadfast in the fact that he wanted to watch over this situation until his dying breath. And that's what he did. And, you know, so there's a reason there. We understand that. But the whole Egon as a dad and a granddad really was like completely out of left. And I've thought about that since the very first trailer where they describe, you know, you know that that's Egon Spengler's jumpsuit in that closet when she opens it up, the locker. And you're like, and she looks just like Egon. So obviously, you know, something happened. We need to know all that. You know, there's a whole backstory that we may not get, you know, from the movie. Maybe we will. Maybe they'll bring it up in some short little description. But it piqued my interest. Like, how did all this happen? This is a man who loved spores, molds, and fungus, and almost drilled a hole in his head to see what happens. So, you know, that's a whole thing right there. I every time I see a trailer, the first thing I take away from it, again, is they're not giving away everything. Like most trailers today, you don't have to see the movie. You watched it in a 2-minute trailer that they give you, so obviously you don't need to watch it. Now, the one problem I do have is that they're leaking the toys. And the leaking the toys, now you know half the characters in this movie. And including, again, spoilers, please, this terror dog with two legs and walking, and I'm not sure I like that at all. I'm not sure if that's, you know, kosher. I'm used to my terror dogs being on four legs and, you know, running really fast. Now you have this, like, behemoth 7-foot-tall terror dog on two legs, and I'm like, oh, no, and they give it away in the toys. And I'm like, no, you gotta stop. It's Shades of Emperor Snoke when you gave it away in the second movie, and you know, because of course then he was just the giant head, and then you're like, what's this guy going to look like? And then you get the action figure already, and you already know. So it's kind of that. I'm hoping that there's not a Shandor action figure or anything else like that are going to, you know, throw us for another another loop. But it is what it is. I'm excited for this movie. I haven't been excited for a movie in quite a while. I would say Bill and Ted Face the Music was probably the last one I was excited about. And I will be honest, and I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this one, I was not a fan of Bill and Ted Face the Music at all. So that's my other fear is, okay, you're giving us all this, which is great, don't get me wrong, but the bottom line is, you now have to deliver. Now, granted, you're talking about a man who grew up with the man that directed Ghostbusters now directing this movie. So there's a good chance this is going to be really good. So, you know, I'm not too worried about it, but at the same time, I'm still a skosh bit concerned, because whenever we touch base with something that's over 30 years old or more, we end up kind of losing our way, and it, you know, it's a fun little jaunt, and you're kind of happy you're seeing these characters again, but the story's weak and whatever. So I'm excited. I'm a little, you know, holding it close because you never know. But it, all in all, I mean, so far it looks fantastic. So I think we're in for a real treat come November. I think this is going to be a really, really good movie. I think this will be one that hopefully reinvigorates the franchise. And brings it back to where it needs to be. Was I a fan of the 2016? Yes and no. Again, I wasn't going nuts like everybody else saying, this is not my Ghostbusters. No, it's not your Ghostbusters. Just like that wasn't your He-Man. You know, it's like it's a different thing. You know, if there was one thing I loved about the 2016 Ghostbusters that they should have pursued a bit more was this whole Rowan guy. I mean, he was a psycho. And we really didn't learn much about him. And that in itself was really cool. I wish they had followed that. And I loved the equipment in the 2016. I thought a lot of it was really cool. Some of it was a bit far-fetched. Like, again, we're talking about, you know, equipment that takes care of ghosts. So I guess far-fetched is probably the wrong word. But I wasn't, like, terribly hating this movie like everybody else. I think I go into things with an open mind. I was telling Josh today about when Inspector Gadget came out in 99. And I was a big Inspector Gadget fan. I was, you know, just starting out in high school when that show came out. So I was still... And I was a huge nerd. I was always watching cartoons when I came. I didn't care how old I was. I still watched cartoons. So I would watch Inspector Gadget, and you know, the 99 movie came out, and for what it was, I thought it was funny. I thought Matthew Broderick was, you know, kind of an odd choice, but he pulled it off. I think he did a decent enough job, and I thought it was a decent film. I thought it was fun. You know, it was a popcorn movie. Go in, no expectations, and enjoy it. And I think that's what you got to do with some of this stuff, is go in with no expectations. Don't go in there thinking, you know, this is my childhood that you're about to destroy. Don't do that. If you're going to do that, don't watch it. Go watch. Everything is on any kind of media you can think of. Why would you even bother with this if you know deep down inside that you're not going to like it? There's really no point. Go and watch your shows. Enjoy. Have fun. That's the whole thing about this wonderful thing about being a geek and a nerd. You have all these amazing things. You can watch your original show. You don't have to watch the new thing. Enjoy all the old stuff. You don't have to worry about the new stuff. The new stuff's for somebody else. You know, you got to get a grip on that. I think that's our biggest problem, is we all go nuts if it's not right. You know, it's like if you go to the steakhouse and you order a steak and it comes out wrong, and you know, you ruined my dinner, you know, and that's basically what this is. It's like you've ruined everything because it's not right. Well, it wasn't made for you, and unfortunately that's sometimes the sad fact of life, is, you know, you're not going to like the new stuff, so don't worry about it. If you go in with an open mind, you might enjoy parts of it. You might enjoy all of it because it's a different tale they're telling. They're spinning a new thing. And that's what all of these series are about. They're about, you know, taking something and changing it and making it something new. You know, and a lot of people would argue that, hey, you know, why not create your own original stuff? And you guys must be out of ideas and this and that and the other thing. Well, no. I think what happens is you get some people that are they want this so bad, you know, and they have their own vision for it. And maybe they grew up with it. And that's why they do what they do, you know. Now, that's not every case. I mean, in the case of Kevin Smith, I mean, really, it's about the money. You know, it's about the money. It's about, hey, I have a director's job. I can pay the bills this month and, you know, buy a new airplane or whatever. You got to go into things with an open mind. It's your money. You don't have to spend it. You don't have to watch that show. You don't have to go see that movie. You know, there's plenty on. You go watch what you like. And that's how I try to take all this in, you know. So again, I loved the Ghostbusters trailer, and I'm really, really hoping that everything works out. The He-Man show I thought was well done. Thought it took it in a different direction. Not necessarily where I went in my head, but that's the point, is they're painting the picture. We get to see what they're painting. And sometimes we've got to take a step back and enjoy that part of it. But that's it. That's everything, guys. I mean, I think, all in all, He-Man was good. Ghostbusters looks fantastic. And go into it with an open mind. And that's what I've got. That's my two quarters. I want to thank everybody for visiting our little humble site. You know, it is our 10th anniversary. And, you know, we're forging a new direction right now. And, you know, we've lost some people along the way. We've gained others. And our family, our Arcade Archives family, is changing for the better. And I'm very excited to have you guys along for the ride. And, you know, I appreciate and I'm humbled by every one of you. Whenever I go on and see we have a new member, it really makes me happy that we started this little site. I started as a little scrapbook. And here we are 10 years later, and it's pretty amazing. And I promise you, the ride's going to get better. Stay tuned next month, Donkey Kong Month. Very, very excited about this. I think it's going to be fantastic. We're still working on Pac-Man, so don't give up on that. I do have a coin up, Super Pac-Man, coming soon. And then I will have the coin up for Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr., and my personal favorite, because you guys know, Donkey Kong 3 featuring Stanley the Bugman. And we will have all that for you next month right here. TheArcadeArchives.com. You can follow us on Facebook. I think we have a Twitter account, an Instagram account. Follow us. We're going to bring you some great stuff, I promise. You guys hang in there. Thank you very much for your time. And keep playing like it's 1981. Thank you again, guys. I'll catch you on the flip-flop. Bye.
Hey, Arcaders. This is Ray Gunn from the Arcade Archives Network. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast that you're listening to. If you're listening on iTunes, please give it 5 stars. A lot of time and patience go into every podcast we do. 5-star ratings help us so we can continue giving you this quality entertainment every month. And don't forget to share us with your friends. If you're listening to us on YouTube, please give us a like and subscribe to our channel. And if you're over on our Facebook page, please like and share. Once again, we do this for you guys, and we enjoy doing it every single month. So every little bit helps. So please go online and like us today. Thanks. Keep playing like it's 1981, and I'll talk to you guys later. Bye now.
The Electric Circus is a part of the Arcade Archives Network and is produced by What's This Button Do Productions. Hey guys, what's this button do? Let me get my hands on my...
That's what the button does.
The Electric Circus is a part of the Arcade Archives Network.
With assistance from...
Rebellion Productions.
All right, let's take a look at what we're talking about today. Oh, Game Room Wizards.
Game Room Wizards? Is that a new game?
You haven't heard of Game Room Wizards?
No, I haven't heard of Game Room Wizards.
Oh my gosh. Haven't you always wanted an arcade cabinet in your house?
Ever since I was like 3 years old.
Well, these guys build arcade cabinets.
What?
Yes. They build basically any size you can think of. A full-size arcade cabinet, you want one, they could build it for you. How about these arcade one-ups? You like them?
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Oh yeah, the only problem is you only get to play just a few games,
yeah.
Right? Well, imagine having a custom-built arcade one-up cabinet size with any game you absolutely have ever played on one machine.
What?
Yes, they can do that.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Absolutely.
The Simpsons?
Absolutely.
Stuff like that?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
They can do all of it. And the best part that I like the most is they hire local artists to do their artwork.
Oh, that's awesome.
So you could purchase art that looks realistic and make it look as real as possible. Or they have options with local artists to recreate or to modify to make it look completely different, yet similar in a way. And it's all local.
Awesome.
I like that idea the most.
Yeah, well, what if I'm a console gamer, though? I usually play on my Nintendo Switch.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because one of the newest cabinets they have is called a Switcheroo.
Switcheroo? What does that mean?
What it is it's a cabinet you put your Switch into.
What?
You separate the controls, you put the monitor inside the cabinet, and even the header lights up like a real arcade machine.
That sounds amazing.
Yes, and they're quite reasonably priced, I might add.
Okay, and where do I find this magical website?
Well, you're going to go over to the website that I'm going to tell you right now, sir.
Okay.
It's raybrody.wixsite.com. That's wixsite.com/gameroomwizards/, I believe, Game Room Wizards. And you can go there and look at all the cabinets they built, all the designs they have. They have tons of designs of cabinets you will remember once you see them. And they can build them at any of the sizes mentioned. So that's pretty cool. And you can shoot an email over to GameRoomWizards1981@gmail.com and get a quote on your cabinet right now.
I think I'm going to do this right now. I'm going to get up the website.
Go ahead. Let's do it, man.
There we go.
All right. Game Room Wizards.